Welcome to Surviving the Big Race,
your go-to podcast for all things Big Brother, Survivor, and the Amazing Race. This is your host, Ashby.
And I'm Eddie. Alrighty, welcome back to another episode. Yes, I am your host, Eddie. And today I am flying solo dolo. Yes, that's right. Unfortunately, Ashby is out. He is sick. So we are sending him all the best wishes and a speedy recovery. So it has been a crazy week and we have a lot to get into. So let's dive right into it. So Lisa's gone and now everyone seems a little bit relieved. You know, everyone seems a little happy. Well, Angela is happy, of course. She has to cry and thank everyone to prove that she deserves to be there. And she still just doesn't get that, you know, you're just not that big of a threat right now. You're annoying is the main issue that everyone has with you. And then after that, it's time to play the new HOH game, which is like a Candyland versus a balance beam mix. And I have to say, for the most part, everyone did pretty much around the same until Cedric came out. And then once Cedric came out, he just completely crushed it, which is interesting because I feel like behind the curtain, and I know they didn't get to watch each other, but I feel like they had to at least strategize with each other while they were back there waiting, because after Cedric, everyone did the same strategy of trying to hit the four last so that way you can instantly double those points. But he was the only one who could do it and not fall off the beam. So good job for him. He becomes HOH, which I was happy. I think it's great. First Chelsea, now him, two mascots. Now they're back on top. Really great moves. Great for their resume. I was a little worried about what he was going to do because he did seem a little too unsure. But we'll get into that in a little bit later because, baby, Tucker comes in hot. Everyone is just scheming and trying to figure out what they're going to do to try to take out. Well, they're really trying to figure out who has this power. And Mackenzie, for some reason, decides to tell Cedric about her power. Which, I don't understand why everyone keeps telling people about their powers. There's no point of having it, and it's anonymous if we keep telling people. Just like, why are we doing this? But anyways, she does it. Tucker already assumes that she has it, so he goes to Cedric and starts pitching Mackenzie as one of the nominations, which is extremely smart, and he does it in a great way. Then he goes and he offers to be a pawn. Now that's something that I feel like is a little, no one ever offers to be a pawn, especially when there's three nominees, your chances of actually going home are even greater. It's like, no one wants to be, I hate when people volunteer to be a pawn. Like, stop volunteering. Be told to be one. But nonetheless, he does it. And Cedric agrees. And he puts up Kenny, who's begging to go home nonstop. And Angela. And Tucker. And I have to say, is not that big of a surprise that Angela goes up, but she still seems shocked for some reason. I don't know why, but somehow she's still shocked that she was put up. Then we get into the next episode where Mackenzie starts to feel like she's about to get backdoored, which, obviously, like, you told everyone about your fucking power, they're coming for you. They're gonna drain it, they're gonna make you lose it, which, I mean, it's not that great of a power anyways, but if she was smart, she would have told them, I'm waiting to use it for someone. I don't want to use it on myself. I'd rather use it on someone else. Then no one would actually try to put her up. They would actually try to make it so where they could get her to use it for them. But, I mean, that's just me. That's how I would have played it. Because I'm a genius. So that's what I would have done. And then, speaking of powers, we go to Tucker and Kimo talking in the little floaty heaven room, which is by far my favorite room. I love that room. And they're talking about the powers, who they think has the powers, because now Tucker doesn't think Lisa had it. And Chemo just spills the beans. Let's Tucker know that Quinn has the power. And for the love of me, there's no real reason why for him to do this. Especially since him and Quinn are working together. Not only are they in the Pentagon together, they also have a final three together. So it's like, why would you spill this? It made absolutely no sense whatsoever. So I was a little disappointed in Chemo for doing that. But I love that Tucker, when he finds out, he thinks that this is this huge secret when reality, so many people know. Like Angela knows, Chemo knows. They know about his, then almost everyone knows about Mackenzie. So it's very like, yes, you figured this out, but also at the same time, everyone kind of already knows. Just no one's actually talking about it. Then we get into Kenny again, talking about how much he misses his family, which I do not understand. He's an undercover cop, so like I know you're used to being away from your family. So I just don't understand why he's so homesick. I just don't understand it. It's the worst gameplay because he's so good and competes so hard in the challenges and the competitions that it makes no sense that when there's like they're not competing, he's just Eeyore and walks around moping. And then the fact that he decides, oh, I'm going to use the power of veto on Angela. Which means that he's going to try to win the power of veto. Just to use it on someone else. Makes, again, no sense. If you're that ready to go home, just quit. Or don't attempt to play the power of veto. Like, fake it. Throw it. But no point of you giving it to someone else who's on the block. Only do that if you're trying to build your resume. And if you want to go home so bad, it makes absolutely no sense. It makes none whatsoever. So now it's time to pick players for the veto competition. And we get Mackenzie to come up and play, which makes me really happy. I love her. And then we also get Leah, which I love because Leah is just fun. And anytime she's on TV, it makes me happy. Her and Mackenzie are my duo. I kind of wish they would work together a little bit more, but Angela messed that up for them. And so we get into the veto competition, and it is a jungle temple theme, which I love. Anytime they set up the backyard like this, I love it. I think it looks so cool, and I love the costumes. And so during this, they have to maneuver a awkwardly shaped pole that glows through a series of bamboo sticks and vines, and they can't hit the vines, or they'll lose 5 points every time they do. And for the most part, everyone sucks. But I would like to say that as someone who played a game similar to this as a kid, a lot, I would fucking dominate. I would have done so good at this. Because it's really more about taking your time and moving every part of the pole individually and slowly, more than trying to rush through. Like, as much as you move the front, you have to look at the back and realize where that back is going to. It's very strategic, but I love stuff like this. I would have dominated if I did this. So everyone competes, and we find out that Mackenzie, Tucker, and Kenny are the top three. And again, Kenny, why are you competing so hard? Why are you top three if you want to go home? So Tucker wins the veto, no shocker. He's been dominating absolutely everything in this game. Any competition he's in, he's pretty much the top three people. So it was no shocker that he was going to win this. But after he wins, though, it's pretty clear that he's going to use it on himself. So the whole house is scrambling. They're all trying to think who's going to be the next nominee. And this is where Tucker starts to plant his little seeds and really starts doing some of the best strategic work ever. He lets Cam know that Quinn has the veto. Or not has the veto, but has the power for the HOH. He lets him know exactly what it is. Lets him know, hey, he didn't tell us about this. Makes him seem like a threat. Cam goes and then tells Cedric, who now is starting to feel hurt and feels like he can't trust Quinn, puts a huge target on Quinn's back, which is brilliant how Tucker masterminded that whole thing. And then what's even better is that you cut to Cedric outside on the patio directly trying to give Quinn the opportunity to say, hey, I have the power. I didn't want to use it for this. I didn't tell you for this. And he just double downs and lies and lies. It's crazy. I mean, in that situation, I probably would have did the same thing. You've lied so much that at this point, it really doesn't matter. So might as well just keep going with it. So I understand why he didn't do it. So then we go back to the HOH room where Tucker is now having a change of heart and want to play Captain Save-A-Ho and wants to use the veto on Angela, which it is so annoying. Like, why are we using the veto on other people? Like, this would be a good game move if this was Survivor and you were doing this to battle in the fire for the last, you know, tribal. But this isn't Survivor. This is Big Brother, and this is the third week. So, like, why are we taking other people off when we could be saving ourselves? Like, nothing is guaranteed. Why are we doing this? And Angela is a threat. Anyone she works with, she has exposed all of their secrets and everything. There's no reason to work with her. There's no reason to have her in the house. She's a threat to anyone's game because she will turn on anyone and expose anyone. We've seen it happen this whole entire time. But he goes and pitches the idea of taking Angela off and putting Quinn up. At first, everyone seems, you know, kind of interested in it. He makes a really good pitch, I gotta say, he really does. He really does, like, point out the facts that, yeah, Quinn is connected. He has his hand in little impots, you know. He has this huge power that he didn't tell anyone about. So, like, he makes some good points. But the problem is, how he's doing it, he's not really reading the room. You can tell that Cedric is iffy about it. Cedric even says, you know, if this goes bad, it messes up his game. And Tucker kind of just, like, throws that to the side. And no, like, you have to pay attention to the room. You have to think about what other people are going about, especially the HOH. Like, this isn't, if he says it's not a good deal, then okay, fuck it, cool, it's not a good deal. Taking myself off. Stick with the main plan. Like, you don't want to try to bogart someone else's HOH. And I think that's what he was doing without realizing that's what he was doing. He was digging a hole for Quinn at the same time digging a hole for himself without realizing that's what he was doing. So then that brings us to the veto ceremony. And baby, was this such a good veto ceremony. Like, hands down one of the best. When Tucker stood up and handed Angela that veto, the whole house was gagged. Like, they were shocked. The one time Angela's tears were deserved, like, she actually should have cried then, and she did. Like, the right time to cry. But, oh my god, everyone was shocked. And then, bam, an even double shocker that Cedric puts up Kenzie instead of Quinn, and then all hell breaks loose. Tucker is pissed. He even just looks directly at Mackenzie and is like, this was not the plan. This was not the plan. And he's just mumbling under his breath. He's just going nonstop. He is pissed. One of the best veto ceremonies ever. And then, right before it ends, Mackenzie's like, oh no, hold up. I'm activating my power, and I'm using America's veto, and I'm taking myself off the block. Which is something that I loved about this moment, is that I realized no one knew what the real power was. And she didn't tell anyone that it was America's vote. And it was up to America who got to choose who went on the block instead. Like, it was such a crazy back-to-back, bam, 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 like, you can't write that type of shit. So good. That was such an amazing episode. And I have to tell you, I went on, I voted, and I can say it, I voted. I voted for Quinn, I voted for Brooklyn, I voted for Cam, and I voted for Joseph. Oh, and I voted for Rubina. But the reason why I voted for them was because, well, Quinn, just because he deserved to go in because he told everyone about his power, so he kind of dug his own grave with this. But everyone else, the other ones, Cam, Brooklyn, Rubina, Joseph, I really haven't seen them compete or really do anything. So, like, I wanted just to get them the opportunity to get up on there and actually do something in the AI arena. Like, want to give them, like, some opportunity to play. So that was my thought process behind choosing them. But then we go into the next episode and we see that before the veto ceremony, Cedric actually told Tucker, hey, we don't have the votes, use this on yourself. And Tucker straight up said, fuck it, no, I'm doing whatever. Which is, again, not something that you say to the HOH. Like, you don't try to strong arm the HOH, especially when your butt is the one on the block as well. Like, don't do that. So everything is still heated. Tucker pretty much declares war on Cedric, tells him that the whole house is going to be gunning for him now, that he just exposed his own game, which, I mean, I don't think he really did. It's kind of obvious to put up McKenzie. Tucker is the one who kind of exposed his and Cedric's game by all the stuff he was saying. So then Cedric goes into the flower My Little Pony room where everyone is there, and they should have asked him, so, like, what was the plan? And McKenzie's like, what was the plan? He said that I wasn't the plan, what's the plan? And you can tell that Cedric's really, really bad at lying, especially when Quinn is right there. He's so awkward for him. He just looked like a deer in the headlights. So then he calls a house meeting, and they all go to the living room. They have a house meeting where him and Tucker just, bam, lay everything out there. He tells everyone that Angela knew about Quinn's power, that Kimo told him about Quinn's power, exposing Kimo, letting everyone know what Quinn's power was, to where Quinn now has to fess up and tell everyone. He tells them exactly what the power is, what it does, and everyone is shook. Angela, again, starts to get teary-eyed because she feels vindicated, which, like, Angela, stop fucking crying and making everything about you. But then we once again see Tucker and Cedric fighting, and Cedric just talking about how this was not his HOH. I mean, this was his HOH. That's not the plan he wanted. It was not good for his game. And Tucker just keeps blowing up and getting more mad. But this time, what's worse is that he's doing it in front of T-Core, Cam, and Chelsea. Those people really ride for Cedric, especially Chelsea. So it's like, you're doing this in front of his alliance, people that you already know that, like, he's close with, and you're just blowing up on him and telling him that, hey, I'm gunning for you. You're saying this in front of other people, hey, I'm gunning for him. Like, you're just putting a target on your back with the people he works for. It's not a good look. So then we're back and we have Julie looking gorgeous, like always. And she lets us know that Quinn, no surprise, he is America's pick to go up on the block. So Quinn, Tucker, and Kenny, they're the ones that are going to battle out in the AI arena. And this game is kind of like a money grab type of situation. They have all these balls, different colors, and they have to get all the red ones into this tube. And they have to do it up to a certain point. And whoever does it the fastest wins. And I don't know what carnival show that fucking Tucker practiced at before he came on this show. But he did this so quick and was so fast at this. Like, I don't even know how he just saw all those red balls that quickly. Because everyone else is struggling. I would have definitely struggled with this. But he does it so fast. He's just so laser focused and grabs just every single red ball so quickly, so good. He uses his whole body to do it. Like, he's a beast. And, like, I just don't understand how he doesn't see that him bragging about how good he is just painting a target on his back. I don't understand how he doesn't see that. So he ends up winning and takes himself off of the block, obviously. He comes off, and now it's Kenny and Quinn left on the block, and it was no shock to anyone except for, I think, Tucker, that Kenny was the one who was going home. It was a 1-11 vote, and Kenny's the one who goes home. He says he's sad, but we all know he's secretly happy. And I think, to be honest, like, he says it too, but I think he really connected with Matt. He thought of Matt as one of his kids. And then once Matt left, he just, bam, really missed home and really didn't have anyone to connect to. And so he just felt isolated and alone. And I think if Matt was still there, he probably would still be in this game trying to fight it out. So it is sad that Angela is still here another week. But this was an amazing week of great gameplay by everyone. Mackenzie did good. I loved when she used her power. She used it at the right time. Quinn is just surprising me at how good he's doing. Because I don't understand how he weaseled his way out of that. It just shows how well connected and liked he is in the house. The fact that no one voted against him. Not even not one person besides Tucker. Like, yes, Kenny wanted to go home, but it's like no one else even thought to even consider voting for Quinn, which just shows how good he's playing this game. And Tucker obviously is just a mastermind. He's a genius. He's doing so good. So I can't wait to see how this plays out with this rivalry with Tucker versus essentially Quinn and Cedric, which is almost the whole house. So it's almost Tucker versus the house. So it's really going to be interesting to see who he teams up with. I feel like it'd probably be Angela, but she's probably going to double-cross him. You know, him and Mackenzie actually would make a really good duo. If they could work to find a way to work together, I feel like they could actually do really good. Him and Mackenzie could do really good and probably go all the way to the end together. All right, that's all the time we have for this week's episode. I'm your host, Eddie. Hopefully, Ashby will be back with us next week when we recap week 4. I'm so excited to see how everything plays out. Thank you again for tuning in to Surviving the Big Race, your go-to stop for all things Survivor, Big Brother, and The Amazing Race. See you guys next week.